All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we are starting with the Mishnah. Today's Daf is Lamed Beis. We are starting with the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Gimel Ach in the Sun, Gimel in the Achriel. So we'll say another case. So three brothers married to three unrelated women. Ooh. Good. Guys, ready? Right over there? All right, good. Almost. All right. Look, give me the green light, David. All right, so Gimel Achen. Right. Gimel Achen Nisun Gimel Nachria. So what happens? I have three brothers married to three unrelated sisters. Three unrelated women. Umeis Echomehen, one of the three brothers dies. Va'asa ba hashini ma'amar. So we'll say again, just simply put, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. And Reuven, Shimon, Levi are married to three unrelated women. Okay, so what happens? Reuven dies. Shimon goes ahead and does ma'amar with Reuven's wife. Umeis. And then what happens? Before Shimon himself has the ability to solidify the Yibum, Shimon dies. So he's done ma'amar with Reuven's widow, but he has not yet gone ahead and has not done Yibum. So what's the halacha? So we'll say, so now remember, there are two women that fall to Levi, right? One of those women is Reuven's original widow, who again Shimon did ma'amar with. The second woman is Shimon's wife, Shimon's own widow. So what's the halacha? So the Mishnah Paskins, Hare Elu Chotzos Velo Misyavmos. The halacha is that both of these women do chalitza, these women do chalitza, and they do not do Yibum. And I'll say, where do we get this? From Shana Amar, Umeis Echad Mehem, Yavama Yavo Aleha. Because the Pasuk says that when one of the brothers dies, the Yavam will do Yibam with her. So what are we dashing from that? Sha'aleha Zekas Yavam Echad. What do we learn from that, Abbas? That the only time a woman could do Yibum is when she has a Zeka from one Yavam, but not a Zeka from two Yavmin. Abbas, what does it mean in this context? Remember, technically speaking, Reuven's widow technically has a double Zeka. What's the double Zeka? She had a Zeka from Shimon, right? Her husband Reuven died, so she had a Zeka from Shimon. That Zeka was already beginning to materialize in the form of Ma'amar. Then Shimon died, and now she has a second Zeka from Levi. So the Mishnah is suggesting that there is a technical exclusion for her, because again, essentially, only a woman with one Zeka can do Yibum, but a woman who has two different Zekos may not go ahead and do Yibum. Correct. We'll see. Actually, the Mishnah is going to spell out the case with the Ma'amar, but that is correct. This appears at first totally because of Ma'amar. Correct. So the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Shimon, remember, because again, the man who did Ma'amar with her is dead. Shimon who did Ma'amar is dead. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, Miyavim le'ezah she'erza, v'cholitz l'shnir. Rabbi Shimon says, no, he can go ahead and do Yibum with either of these women and does Chalitza with the other one. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Zekas shnei Yavmin, t'chol zman shlo kinsa zeh, adayin Zekas rishon aleha, v'ni tosefes aleha Zekas ma'amaro, hari kishemes zeh nosru aleha Zekas shneihem, v'ilu kinsa, havapaka Zeka dekama. Now we'll say, remember again, Zeka is only the connection, the bond that's there prior to Yibum. So for example, this case only gets off the ground because Shimon did not do Yibum. Meaning, let's play this out. Had Shimon done Yibum with Reuven's widow, and then Shimon died without children, then what? Then there's no Shaila. Then again, Reuven's widow, who was then Shimon's wife, certainly would be subject to Yibum. So the idea over here is, this is not that you can't be subject to Yibum twice. You can be subject to Yibum twice. If you marry brother number one, and brother number one dies without children, brother number two does Yibum with you, he dies without children, technically speaking, you will fall to Yibum in brother number three. So it's not a double Yibum exclusion. What it is it's a double Zeka exclusion. That you can't be in a state where ultimately, again, you had two Zekos. And again, what the Mishnah suggesting is that's a gzeras hakosav. It's just simply based on the drasha of the pasuk. So look at the Gemara. So machlok is Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakama says if you have a double zeka, then ultimately you are excluded from Yibum. Rabbi Shimon says you are not. So what's interesting is the following. Remember, so according to the Tanakama says that you are excluded from Yibum you are excluded from Yibum in this case. Why? Because she has a double Zeka. She has a Zeka of brother number two and a Zeka of brother number three. But if that's the case, and Mishnah quotes a Pasuk, if that's the case that she's biblically excluded, then what? Then why does she need Chalitza? Right? Rabbi say, remember again, if there's one thing we've established, if you are biblically excluded from Yibum, that means you're out of the parasha. So why does she need Chalitza even? To which the Gemara says, Elamid Rabbanon. Rather, again, you're right, Midrash, she doesn't need Chalitza. We ask her to do it, or we don't really ask her, we administer it. Midrabanan Ugzira Shema Yomru Beis Yevamos Habaos Mibayis Echad Misyavmos. Out of a concern that if we don't do something, people could erroneously assume that in a general case of where you have two widows falling from a deceased brother to a Yibum situation, that you can go ahead and do Yibum with them. Look at Rashi. Rashi is Elamid Rabbanan Midaraisa Ma'amar Lakani. Because remember again, Midaraisa. There is no ma'amar, right? Remember, ma'amar is drabonim, which means the following, that technically speaking, when Reuven dies and leaves behind his widow, and Shimon does ma'amar, and then Shimon dies. Midda'oraisa, when those two women fall before Levi, the third surviving brother, technically, he can do Yibum with both of them. Why can he do Yibum with both of them? Because the first woman is still considered to be Reuven's widow, because Ma'amar is biblically ineffective, so therefore nothing's happened, therefore she's still called Reuven's widow, and the second wife is Shimon's widow. They're two women falling from two different marriages, which means technically he could do Yibum with both of them. But what are we afraid of? So I'm reading Rashi saying, V'tarvayu matzile v'yomei, V'rabbanahu digazur shem yomru beiz yivamam sabaos yibayis echam yisyamam. So what's the concern? The concern is if we were to let him do that. You see, most people will not necessarily know that wife number one is still considered to be like the widow of Reuven. They will assume that once Shimon does ma'amar, then what? Mm-hmm. She's like Shimon's wife. In which case, what this case looks like to most people is two women coming from the same marriage. And if he does Yibum with them, people will think that that is the halacha, that you can go in and do Yibum with two men from the same marriage. Shabbos say, of course we know, you can't. The license for Yibum is for one of the wives from a marriage, not for both. Therefore, again, what do we do? Therefore, we'd make him do Chalitza in order that no one should get confused about the possibility of doing Yibum with two women from the same marriage. I have a better idea. So why doesn't he do Yibum with one of them and Chalitza with the other one? Gzeira Shamayomru, because again we're concerned, people may say, Bayis Echad, Miktsaso Banoi, top of Lamed Beis, or Miktsaso Chalutz. Because people, again, I will say, the same general fear is here, which is that people identify these two women as being both the widows of Shimon. Because they're going to assume that since Shimon did Ma'amar, therefore, again, they're considered to be his wives. And therefore, there's a concern that people will say, oh, that when you have two women come from the same marriage, so Miktsaso Banoi, you could build up part of the house, and you could go ahead and do chalitz with the other part of the house, i.e., that you have room to go ahead and do something with each of the wives that fall to you from a deceased brother. Rashi says, essentially, the Gemara gives the same answer, which is that anything you do with both of these women ultimately will give rise to the possibility that people will think that when one man dies and leaves behind multiple wives, that you have the halachic license to do things with each wife. Obviously, you can only do yibum with one, but perhaps you could do yibum with one, chalitz with the other, and therefore you can't do that. The yomru, he did me. No. No. When, remember again, when you have multiple wives fall from a deceased brother, the whole yibum process is only with one woman.
Right.
No, you don't do chalitz with the other.
Free.
Correct. But there's no process.
Correct.
But you cannot do something else with the other woman. You cannot do Yibum or Chalitza with the other woman. V'yomru. I demiyabim v'hadir chalitz hachanami. So I don't understand. What's the big deal? So let them. So again, v'yomru. V'yomru. I demiyabim v'hadir chalitz hachanami. El gzira. Dilma chalitz bereisha v'hadir miyabim. So we'll say, interesting, the Gemara says, again, what's the worst case scenario over here? The worst case scenario is that he does yibum with one of the women, and he does chalitz with the other woman. Now both say, remember, if he does chalitz with the other woman, that chalitza really, to a certain degree, is an irrelevant chalitza, but what is the big deal? To which the Gemara says, you're right, that case is not the big deal. The bigger deal, elegzera, dilma chalitz bereisha v'hadir miyabim. The bigger the Rabbah said would be if what? If he did chalitza first with one of the women and then did yimum with the second. Why? Because once he did chalitza, remember again, that's it. Once he's done chalitza, the entire yimum process is over. And if he were to then go ahead and do yibum with the second woman, v'kimle ba'asher lo yivna. Well, so remember the Pasuk says, in the Pasuk by Chalitza, it calls the man, the man who will not build up his brother's home. So remember again, Yivne is future tense, and therefore we dash of Rachmana Amar, Kevan Shalabana Shuv Lo Yivne. The Torah says that once the Yavam does not do Chalitza, once he does not do Yibam and he exercises the ability to do Chalitza, he may not marry this woman in the future. Amirava, so therefore, fine, that settles that. So the simple answer is that in this first situation in the Mishnah, technically speaking, Midaraisa, you can do Yibam with both women, technically, but out of a concern that Midarabanan, it looks like, and the reason you could do that is because Midaraisa, they're considered to be as two women coming from two different marriages, two different brothers, but since we are concerned that it looks like they're coming from one marriage, if we allow you to go out and do yibum with them, people will think that you could do yibum with multiple women from the same marriage, and therefore the ma'isa we just simply say do chalitza and bring an end to the whole thing. So the Gemara says the following: Amarava, nosan get lema amaro, hutlra tsarasa. Well, this is actually an interesting case. So Rava says the following: let's say you went ahead and you did ma'amar with a woman. You did ma'amar with a woman, and then what happens? And you gave her a get afterwards. Look at Rashi, second line in Rashi. Nosan get lema amaro, amas nisin koi. This is referring to the case in the Mishnah. She'im nosan zeha ose ma'amar get lema amaro. Because we'll say the same case in Mishnah. Reuven dies, left behind a widow. Widow falls to Shimon. Shimon does ma'amar with her. Okay. So now Rashi says, Shim nasan ze osa ma'amar get le ma'amaro, velo leze kaso, the achar kach meis hotshra ishto harishona shehid sarasa lehis yavim lishlishi. De ma'amar da avid shakle vilav tsaros ninum. So we'll say, listen to this. So let's say, same case as before, right? Reuven dies, widow falls to Shimon. Shimon does ma'amar. But then after Shimon did ma'amar, what does he do? He gives a get to the ma'amar wife. So then what happens? And then Shimon dies. Now these two women fall before Levi. So what is the halacha? Hutrat sarasa. I will say hutrat sarasa means literally her co-wife is permitted, which is another way of saying what? That in this particular case, both women, technically speaking, become permitted to Levi. Why? Because again, essentially, when he gives the get for the ma'amar, that removes the zeka. Therefore, when Shimon dies, it's two widows from two different marriages that fall before Levi. One is Reuven's widow, one is Shimon's widow, and technically speaking, he has the ability to do yibum with both. So the Gemara goes on. So the co-wife, I will say the co-wife is the wife of Shimon, is permitted to Levi. Aval hi asura, but ultimately again she is asur. Why? Why demichlifa beba'alas get? Because she can be confused with a regular case of get. Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Aval hi asura v'lo mishum dekimla b'lo yivne de postal achav hanishar sharhari lo nasan get lazeka ela mishum de asi lachlufe beba. Alas, I get. Hecha da avad get le ma'amaro ule zekaso dehahi vaday mitri. Aval get le ma'amaro lo dachi ela ma'amar v'nishara zekar ushanam kamar. We'll say, you know why this could be confusing? Let's say again, lemaisa. Let's say the yavam actually went ahead and did yibum, and then divorced his wife afterwards. Obviously, if he divorces his wife afterwards, there's no concern that what? But if he dies, there's obviously not going to be a yibum case. So the Gemara here says something very interesting. That although technically speaking, when Shimon gives the ma'amar wife a get, it's removed the ma'amar, and therefore when he dies, l'maisa, again, what should happen? She should fall before Levi for regular yibum. Her co-wife, i.e. Shimon's first wife, falls for yibum before Levi, but the ma'amar wife, who was given a get, does not fall for Yibam Midrabanan. Why? Lest we come to confuse her case with a regular case of get. And people thinking that even in the event of divorce, even after the get, perhaps she'll be subject to Yibam. So in order to avoid that level of confusion, therefore again, we don't have her do Yibam. Again, the Pashat, even though the Gemara doesn't say it, it sounds like we would require her to do Chalitza. Igeda Amri, others explain, Amar Rava, Nosan Getla Ma'amaro, Hutra Afilahi. Rabbi say in this version, according to Rava, that if you give a get to your Ma'amar wife, then what? And then Shimon dies, even she becomes permitted to Levi. My Taima, what's the reason for that? My David Ba Shakle, because what was done has effectively been removed. Whatever you did through the Ma'amar has been removed through the get. So I suggest you should know for halacha purposes. So the Rambam Paskins, like the Tanakama, in the Mishnah. So I'll just read this to you quickly. This is in Parak Vav, Halacha Chaf Zayin in Hilchos Yibum. So the Rambam writes like this. He says, Shlosha Achim Nisuin Shalosh Nashim Nachrios. If there are three brothers married to three unrelated women, Neis Echam Lehen Va'asa Sheni Ma'amar Bivimto. So Reuven dies, Shimon does Ma'amar with Reuven's widow. And what happens? Shimon dies before he had the ability to do Yibum. And what happens? Both wives fall before Levi. What is the halacha? Hare elu cholzos velo misyavmos. They do chalitza and they don't do Yibum. Why, says the Rambam? Nipnei sheba'alas ha-ma'amar aleha zekas shnei yavmin. V'nimtzeis ki'ilu hi eisha shnei mesin. So both say, because lemaisa again, remember, essentially, the Rambam adopts this position of the Tanakama, which is we darshan that a woman could only do Yibam with one Zeka, but essentially, this woman has two Zekos, the Zeka of Shimon, and now the Zeka of the third brother, Levi. And the halacha is, Va'amru darshu chachamim, V'darshu chachamim, Va'amru eishas hames v'lo eishas shnei mesim. Lefichach, kol eishas she'alash Zeka shnei yavmin, choletzes v'lo misyavemes, V'chein sarasa, the Isur Midivrei Sofer. So also therefore the Rambam Paskins like the Tanakam and the Mishnah, meaning that in this particular case, again, the wife, we'll call her the double widow, will go ahead and be Asur for Yibum to Levi because she is considered to have a double Zeka. Again, it's only in the case of Ma'amar, and therefore by definition, she exempts her co-wife as well. Therefore, the halacha is that both of them undergo the process of Chalitza and no Yibum is permitted. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Achin Isuin Shtei Achayos. Both say, if you have two brothers married to two sisters, umes echad mehen, and one of the brothers died. So obviously, in that case over here, two brothers married to two sisters, Reuven and Shimon married to Rachel and Leah. So what happens when Reuven dies? Obviously, Shimon can't do Yibum. Why can't Shimon do Yibum? Because his sister, because the widow is his sister-in-law, is his sister's wife. Achos ishto can't do Yibum. Aye, but listen to this case. But let's say after Reuven died, Reuven's married to Rachel, Shimon's married to Leah. What happens after Reuven died? Then what happened? Shimon's wife died. Right? So Leah died. Right? Reuven's married to Rachel, Shimon's married to Leah. I'm mixing up the chronology a little bit, but it's okay, you get the point. So the idea over here is that Shimon's wife dies, which means, I'm about to say now, what we're looking at right now is that what? Remember, so older brother's dead, Shimon's wife is dead, which means now, technically speaking, the widow is technically permitted to Shimon because Lemaisa, again, she's no longer Achos Ishto, she's no longer his sister's wife because his wife is deceased. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Hari zu asura alav alamis, still can't do Yibam. The sister-in-law is usher to him, right? Reuven's widow is usher to him. Why? Horiel v'ne esra alav shach. So we've already seen this concept because, again, remember, essentially, the validity or ability to do Yibam is assessed when? It's a machlokes when it's assessed, but at least according to Mishnah, it sounds like it's assessed at the moment that the brother dies. At the moment that Reuven died, Shimon cannot do Yibum because at that point in time, Shimon's wife was still alive, who is the sister of the widow. Even though now, subsequently, his wife dies, he still can't go out and do Yibum because essentially, once we assess this as a non-Yibum situation, that categorization cannot change. So the Gemara says, Peshita, Hashta, Umaha. So Gemara says, okay, I mean, what's the chiddush here? Hashta umahasam delo mitchi mehai beiselagamre amrit lo. So we'll say the Gemara now is quoting. If you look in Rashi from the case that we had on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Hashta pshita hashta umahaznul itcha mihal beisa le'el gabe shlosha achim shnaya mehen nisu and shteachayos ve'echa nasa nachsuos. So remember this case: three brothers, two of whom are married to two sisters, and one is married to an unrelated woman. Woman, what happened? Umeis echa mibale achayos. One of the brothers who was married to the sister dies. And the one who is married to the unrelated woman marries his sister-in-law, marries one of the sisters. Okay, and what happens? Umeisa ishto shalsheni. And then Rabbi say, what happens? And so again, remember, Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. Levi's married to an unrelated woman. Reuven dies. Levi does yibum with Reuven's widow. And what happens after Levi did yibum with Reuven's widow? Meisa ishto shalsheni. In the interim, while again Reuven's widow is married to Levi, Shimon's wife dies, which means now what Rabbi say? So meaning again, technically now for Shimon no longer has the prohibition of achos ishto towards the current wife of Levi. And then what happens? V'achakach meis nasli nachris. Then Levi dies. Harezu asura olav olamis. Rabbi say, remember the Mishnah. So again, now technically speaking, Levi's wife, who was formerly Reuven's wife, who was formerly Shimon's sister-in-law, now falls before Shimon in Yibum, but she's no longer Shimon's sister-in-law. Why? Shimon's wife passed away. Nevertheless, what's the halacha? The halacha is zu asura alav olamis mishum eshasach. Shimon can't do yibum. Why? Because this woman is still considered to be ultimately again, his wife's sister. Hoil v'ne'esra alav sha'achas b'nefila rishona mishum achos isha. So Rabbi, essentially what that Gemara teaches us is that what? Is that l'maisa, in that case, once there was a yibum situation that occurred, so we assess everybody's relationship to this woman at the moment of yibum. So when Reuven dies, Shimon by definition can't marry her, because at that point in time, she is Shimon's wife's sister. Levi can marry her. Which means that what? Even subsequently, when Levi died, and Shimon's wife is already dead, also, he still can't marry her because that Isser still remains. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Umah hasam delo mitchia mehai beisa legamrei. Amrit lo. So we'll say, in the previous case that we just quoted in Rashi, where again, when Reuven dies, there is a brother that his widow can marry, because there is a brother who's not married to one of the widow's sisters. And yet what? And yet we still see over there that Lamaisa, she still can't marry Shimon, even after Levi dies. So hacha de kamitcha mehai beisa legamrei lo kol shekin. Then obviously we'll say, in this case over here, where it's clear there's no other brother, there's only two brothers in this case, then of course again, she can't go ahead and marry Shimon. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Tana ha, Tosili Mara says, Tana ha, Tana Beresha, Vahach Chazile Atera. This, the Mishnah that we just quoted over here, was originally the first Mishnah that was stated. And in the original iteration of the Din, so the Tana figured that their previous case was actually going to be mutter. The Tana originally thought about that then the previous case that we just quoted, the three brothers, that by the time that Levi dies, Shimon should be able to marry the widow, because by that time, Shimon's wife had already died. However, again, and therefore again, the Tana didn't state it. The Hadar Chazil Isura. But then again, the Tana changed his mind, and the Tana realized that no, even in that case, i.e. the previous case, the three brother case, she should still be Asura to Shimon, even after Levi dies. V'aydi dechaviv alei, and because again, this reflected, the previous Mishnah reflected a change in his mindset, again, it reflected a more thoughtful process, he liked that Mishnah more. Akdima, he put it first. Umishna lo zazim imkoma, and this Mishnah did not change from its place. So we'll say, in other words, what that is a very long way of saying is, this Mishnah is redundant. The truth is, it is redundant. We know this. Obviously, once you're in the previous Mishnah by the three brothers, this Mishnah is obvious. This Mishnah is obvious. But what we're seeing is the evolution of the thinking of the Tana. The Tana started with this Mishnah and assumed that the only time that the widow will be forever prohibited to the brother is if he is married to his wife, the widow's sister, at the time that she becomes a Yavama. But I would have thought in the other case, where technically speaking, at the time that the widow is married to Levi, the brother number three, his wife passed away, I might have thought that then when Levi dies, she should be permitted to him as a Yavama. Kamash Mala, no. But that was a change in the thinking of the Tana. Tana thought originally that case should be Mutter. Then he changed his mind to say that case should be Aser, because that case represented a breakthrough in novel thinking. He put that case first, and this case remained where it was.
But there is a Chiddush, because the case case with two brothers, there's only one Yibum. In the case with the three brothers, there are two.
That's not the chiddush of the Mishnah though. The fact that there could be multiple acts of Yibum, that's not a chiddush for us. The chiddush in the previous case is that technically, while she's in a Yibum relationship, the other brother's wife dies, which means that by the time Yibum comes around the second time, the Yavama is no longer his wife's sister.
But that's the chiddush. The chiddush is that even in a subsequent Yibum situation, you can invalidate the Yibum based upon the situation from the first Yibum.
Correct. Situation. That's the chiddush. Correct. That's why the Tana states it. Correct. That is exactly the Chiddush. That's why, again, the Tana, that's why the Gemara says we put that Mishnah first, because that is the Chiddush, the case. Of course, once you make that Chiddush, this Mishnah is obvious. So, to which the Gemara says, so essentially what the Gemara is asking is, once I know that Mishnah, why do I need this Mishnah? To which the Gemara says, because this Mishnah was always here. That Mishnah was an evolution of the Tana's Chitni, it was a Chiddush, therefore the Tana put it there, but this Mishnah remained. Tana Rabbanan. But, we have to go weiter. Tana Rabbanan. Ba'aleha. So we'll say, what happens again? So now this is a case of Ba'aleha. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Ba'aleha b'chaye ishto. So we'll say, let's say again. So now we've established, just working off this simple case of this Mishnah, which is what? Two brothers married to two sisters. Two brothers married to two sisters. And what happens? Reuven dies, leaves behind the widow. So Pashit, Shimi can't do Yibum. Okay, nothing to talk about. Let's say Shimon did Yibum. Let's say he did it, meaning he married his wife's sister. So what's that halacha? Chayev alav mishum eishes achu mishum achos isha de Rabbi Yossi. So what's Rabbi Yossi paskins? That he violates two things. Number one, he has married the wife of his brother. Because remember, I will say, remember, the prohibition of marrying your brother's wife is only lifted when? When there's a license for Yibum. If you don't have a license for Yibum, then lemaisa, you're violating an erva. So number one, he's marrying his brother's wife. Number two, he's also marrying his wife's sister. So according to Rabbi Yossi, there is a double iser here, two ervas. Rabbi Shimon says, Enu chayiv ela mishum eishes ach bilvad. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says, no, he's only chayiv for marrying his brother's wife. But elsewhere, Rabbi Shimon is quoted as saying he's only. See, here's what's interesting. Both brisos agree with the fact that Rabbi Shimon holds you only chayiv for one thing, but there's a contradiction as to what that one thing over is. So over here, before the first brisa quotes Rabbi Shimon as saying you're only chayiv for marrying your brother's wife. Second brisa says you're chayiv for what? For marrying your wife's sister. To which we'll say this is actually very interesting. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kan shenasa chay va'acher kach nasa meis. This is very interesting. Everything depends on the chronology of the marriages. What does this mean? If you went ahead, let's look at this first case. So we'll say if the now living brother married his wife before the now deceased brother married his wife, then what? Then for the living brother, the prohibition of the wife's sister came before the prohibition of a brother's wife, right? You understand that? Meaning, again, you have Reuven and Shimon marrying two sisters. If Shimon, who's the now living brother, if Shimon got married first, that means his future sister-in-law was first ushered to him as his wife's sister before she was ushered to him as his sister-in-law, because at the time that he got married, his brother was not yet married to her. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon will say, essentially, whatever the first Isser to come about, that's the Isser Yechai for. On the other hand, if the now deceased brother Reuven, if he got married first, before Shimon got married, then what? Then Reuven's wife will be ushered to Shimon first and primary as his brother's wife, and then only afterwards, when he gets married, is she prohibited to him as his wife's sister. So essentially, Shimon's logic is, whatever Isser came on the scene first, that's what you're chayiv for, and any subsequent, essentially what we're going to see is Rabbi Shimon's going to hold to the concept of ein Isser chal al Isser, which means one prohibition cannot be chal, cannot devolve upon another prohibition. So once this woman is already ushered to you because of something, subsequent Isurim will not go ahead and fall upon her. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, heichad dinasa meis v'achakach nasa chay. So according to Rabbi Shimon, in the case of where the now deceased brother married first, and then only afterwards the living brother got married. So we'll say again, in our model, that would mean that really, if Shimon, who's a surviving brother, were to marry his deceased brother's wife, he'd only be chayiv for Ochos Isha, and not for Eishes Ach, and not for Achos Isha. Kevan de Iser Achos Isha lo chayil. So we'll say, if that's the case, let's play this out. It's actually very interesting, Kasha. So now that you're telling me that Lamaisa, according to Rabbi Shimon, If, let's say, Reuven, who is the now deceased brother, if Reuven got married first, that means what? That means that the primary prohibition that Reuven's wife has upon Shimon is that she is his brother's wife. And the fact that later on she becomes his wife's sister, is irrelevant. That's never chal. Oh, that's good news. Because if that's the only prohibition there, then what, Rabosai? Then Yibum should set that aside. And he should be able to go ahead and do Yibum with her. To which the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Ashi is actually very interesting. Eishes achos isha mitla tali. Rabosai, interestingly enough, the prohibition of the wife's sister like is hanging over that relationship. And therefore, again, were the prohibition of the brother's wife to go away, for example, like Yibum, then what happened? The prohibition ultimately, again, of the wife's sister would go ahead and devolve upon this marriage. Therefore, ultimately, again, the first prohibition of brother's wife never actually dissolves. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is like this. When Rabbi Shimon says, Ein Isra Chal Isra, the one prohibition cannot devolve upon another, he's not saying that second prohibition goes away. What's happening with that second prohibition? That second Isra is like hovering. It's like hovering. It is waiting to get in there. It's waiting to get a piece of the action. So what happens? As soon as that first Isser goes away, boom, that second Isser sets in. So even if you want to be a smart guy and say, well, wonderful, if the deceased brother gets married first, that means the prohibition on the living brother is that the widow is his brother's wife, which is wonderful, which is not wonderful. But again, then when Reuven dies, then what? Shimon should be able to do Yibum. To which the Gemara says, no, because remember, what? Even if Yibum takes away the prohibition of brother's wife, ultimately, again, as soon as that happens, second prohibition of wife's sister will settle down in there. We'll say that once we know that happens, then essentially the first prohibition of brother's wife never goes away because this is an impossible Yibum situation. So Rabbi Yossi, Isser Chal Isser. So Rabbi Yossi, now based on this, remember Rabbi Yossi was the one who was quoted in the Brisa saying that if Shimon marries his wife's sister, his brother's widow, so according to Rabbi Yossi, he's chayif twice. One for his brother's sister, his brother's wife, and one for his wife's sister. So is that to say that Rabbi Yossi holds that Isser Chal Al Isser, that literally one prohibition could devolve upon another prohibition? V'hatanya, we learned, Avra Avera Sheish B'Shtei Misa, so supposed to listen to this, if you violated an Avera, that carries the two death penalties. So we'll say, what's a good example of this? If you take a look at Rashi says over here, Shtei Misos, here's a good example. Kigon Chamos over here, Eishes Ish, one's mother-in-law who's married to another man, right? Again, that other man, by the way, could be your father-in-law, but it doesn't really matter, right? The idea over here is she's married to another man. So we'll say if a man has relations with his mother-in-law who's married, he's violated two things. Number one, his wife's mother. Number two, a married woman, an Eishes Ish. So interesting enough, if you look at Rashi says, "Da'achamoso sreifa va'Eishes Ish chenek." So interestingly, the punishment for relations with the mother-in-law is sreifa, versus the punishment for general adultery is chenek, strangulation. So the Gemara says over here, so what happens? If I went ahead and I violated an Aver, that has two misos, nidon mechamura, I'm simply, so I will say, you can't kill a person twice. So what do? You administer the more chamur of the death penalties. In this context, by the way, the more chamur is sreifa. Sreifa is considered to be the most chamur of all the death penalties. Rabbi Yossi says, nidon bezeka harishona abo alof. Rabbi Yossi says, no, in fact, what you do is, your punishment is based on which prohibition was first. In other words, that what happened first? Was this woman your mother-in-law first, or was she a married woman first? Whichever one came first, again, obviously we'll say she's your mother-in-law, she was married, but it doesn't mean she was married at the time she became your mother-in-law. So again, so the shaila is, because again, remember, if before you met your wife, she was married, then the mice, again, the prohibition is as a married woman, that's first. If, however, again, she was widowed, let's say she was single or divorced, so the mice, again, then her first prohibition could be as your mother-in-law. So the Gemara says, "Vitanya," and we learned, "Kate said on Rabbi Yossi, Dino b'zeka rishona ba'alav." So what does this mean? Rabbi Yossi says that we look at the first relationship she had to you. So the Gemara says, "Chamoso v'na'asis eishasish." So for example, let's say she first became the mother; she was first the mother-in-law, and then only afterwards she got married. Then, very simply, if the man has relations with her, nidon b'chamoso. Ultimately, again, he is judged because of his mother-in-law, and i.e. sreifa. Ishitich, however, if she was first a married woman and then I developed this relationship with her as my mother-in-law, then Nidon Be'ishitich, then ultimately again she is judged as a married woman and therefore relations with her will carry the penalty of Chenek. Am Rabbi Yavo, so what do you see over here? You see over here that Rabbi Yossi does not hold of Isr Chalal Isr. Even Rabbi Yossi is, because again, Rabbi Yossi, remember, the nice, again, if it's the Isr Chalal Isr, he should be chayef twice. Obviously, it can't kill a person twice, but there are still other ways you could be chayef for two death penalties. But therefore, the Gemara says, you see over here, that's what Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold Isr Chalal Isr. According to Rabbi Yossi, all we're simply looking at is what? Which prohibition came first? And whichever prohibition came first, Lemais, that's the one he'll be chayef for. Am Rabbi Avo, Mod Rabbi Yossi, be Isr Mosif. Oh, Rabbi Yossi will say, when does Rabbi Yossi say? It's actually very interesting. Again, this is a much bigger sugya than what we're going to have time for today. But just quickly, when does Rabbi Yossi say that Lemaise Isr Chal al Isr? When does he say one prohibition could devolve upon another? Only when the second prohibition adds some additional dimension to the first. If the second one brings something additional to the table, then that second Isser could be Chal. But if that second Isser does not bring anything new to the table, then Lemaisa again, it cannot be Chal. Look at Rashi just very quickly. Rashi says, Am Rabbi Avol, Mod Rabbi Yossi be Isser Mosif, Shehu Chal al Isser, Kego Isser Eishes Ach, Demosifu, Shebetchila Kishanasa Ze Es Achosa, Zop Vizopnuya, Neasra Lamishum Achosisha, Umutaris Chal Achav. So we'll say, what's an example of Isser Mosif? For example, it would be, let's say again, you have a case of where Reuven gets married. Reuven gets married. Let's do it like this. Reuven marries Rachel. Reuven marries Rachel. So what happens? So now Rachel's sister is Usher. No, actually, let's read in Rashi again. He says like this: Shebitchila kishenasa ze es achosa veze pnuya ne'as ralam mishum achosisha umutaris tachal echa. So when Reuven marries a woman, so again her sister is asura to Reuven, but is mutaris to all of the other brothers. However, again niseis le'echal mehen ne'as ral kulan. Let's say the sister were to go ahead and marry one of the brothers, then she would be asur on all of the brothers now mishum eishes achi because of the brother's wife. So the point thing was making over here is that even Rabbi Yossi will agree on Isser Chalal Isser as long as what? As long as the second Isser adds something additional that the first Isser did not. So the Gemara says, therefore, let's play this out. Tenach, heichad denasa chai ve'acharkach nasa meis. So I understand this in a case of where what? The now living brother married his wife, and then only afterwards did the deceased brother marry his wife. Migo de'itosif isr legabe achim, because now Rabbi Yossi, when the first brother married his wife, so the first brother was prohibited to his wife's sister, but all of the other brothers are permitted to her. When the second brother marries the sister, then what? Suddenly now all of the brothers are prohibited to the sister as well. So migo de'itosif isr legabe achim, itosif isr legabe didei. So now that an additional Isser was brought about for all the other brothers, I understand why there's an additional Isser for the surviving brother as well. Both say, so you understand what just happened over here? When Reuven married, let's actually work backwards. When Shimon, who's the now living brother, when he married his wife, his wife's sister was Usher, but was Usher to who? Was Usher to him, but permitted, let's say a case of multiple brothers, was permitted to all the other brothers. However, again, when Reuven then marries the sister of Shimon's wife, then what happens? Then Shimon's wife's sister is not only Usher to Shimon, but it's Usher to who? It's Usher to all of the brothers. Now why? Because she is the wife of one's brother. That's an Isser Mosif. That is an additional Isser. And now, so I'm going to say, remember, let's play this out. Now I understand why if Reuven dies, Shimon's not permitted to do Yibum. Why? Because Lamaisa, the Yivama, is his wife's sister. And if he does so, what is he in violation of? He's in violation of both his wife's sister and his brother's wife, because the prohibition of brother's wife is an Isser Mosif. It adds an additional component. However, Elahecha dinasa meis, the achakach nasa chai, my Isser Mosifika. But if it was a case of where what Rabbi Yossi? Of where again Lemaisa, the now deceased brother married first, and then only afterwards the living brother married, then what's the Isser Mosif? Meaning his wife was already Asr, Mishum Eshes Achir from the beginning. V'chi teimam migo de Isser Bekulhu, Achvasa hai iser kolahu. I maybe you'll say that now that since he's usher and all of the sisters, that's an iser kol. That's what it is. To which the Gemara says, no, ha iser kolahu. We'll say that's not called an iser mosif. That's called an iser kol. Getting a crash course in isurim. We'll say an iser kolel. An iser mosif means a secondary iser that adds some dimension of stringency. An iser kolel is the same iser, just applies to more people. That's not called an iser mosif. That's not meaning there's nothing new over here. The fact that there are more characters that are part of the prohibition does not make it an iser mosif. Ella Amarava, rather Rava says the following. Ella Amarava, ma'ala ani alav, ki'ilu asa shtayim, ve'eno chayiv ela achas. But rather what Rava says is the following. What does Rabbi Yossi mean when he says that if Shimon goes ahead and marries the Yavama, who is his sister's wife, who is his wife's sister? What do I mean when I say that he's chayiv twice? One for his brother's wife and one for his wife's sister. He's chayiv, he's violated two yisurim. But what? He's only going to be chayiv one punishment. To which the Gemara says, V'chein ki asa ravin am Rabbi Yochanan, ma'ala ani alav ki lo asa beiz. It's as if he's violated two prohibitions. However, ve'eino chayiv ela achas. But of course, again, he's only chayiv for once. So it says the Gemara, ma'inaf kamina. Like, what does that mean? When we talk about being chayiv, chayiv is only meaningful in what sense? Punishment. So if he doesn't even get one punishment, what do you mean that he's violated two laws? I mean, you could say, okay, it's his cheshbon olam haba. Listen to what I'll say. It's to go ahead and decide where do we bury him. Now, I'll say, here's one thing that's clear. We're going to, meaning, if he continues in this particular, if he continues down this road, lemaisa, again, what? Lemaisa, he will go ahead and be executed for his deeds. Obviously, if he does it by mistake, he doesn't realize it's an usher, it's a shogeg. But let's say now we inform him that what you're doing is absolutely unequivocally usher, it's an erva, and it's arayas, and he chooses to still do it, he'll be executed. And I will say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, Ella Amarava, Rashi says over here, if you skip down a little bit, it's where the lines of Rashi get a little bit wider. He says, "L'chayvo shteik ela b'mezid." So as you're talking, let's say he went ahead and he violated this b'mezid. Vele asas Rasha gamru l'kavra bein Rasham gimurim. Sharasha nikbar eitz Rasham zan b'sanhedrin. Shtei kvaros hayu mutukana l'bezin. Echal neheragin ulenechnakin. Ve'echal niskalin v'nisrafin. V'hachanami afagav dahai lav mechayve bezin hu ho v'avetarte karvina legabi niskalin v'nisrafin. So listen to this. They are two different cemeteries for those who are executed by Beis Din. There are some who are not habitual offenders, meaning unfortunately you can make just a very bad mistake in life and that mistake could cost you your life. It doesn't necessarily label you as a Rasha, it labels you as a sinner, but not necessarily as a Rasha Gomer. However, for repeat offenders, they would be buried in the special Rasha cemetery. So also I said, the Shaila is over here, Lemaisa, what does it mean he can be chayiv twice? Obviously only going to be executed once. But if he persists in this behavior, knowing full well that he's in violation of both the surim, i.e. his brother's wife and his wife's sister, the intentional violation of both of those prohibitions labels him as what? Labels him as a Rasha Gomer, and he will be buried in the Rasha Gomer section of the cemetery. So the Gemara says, Ubi plukta. In reality, this whole thing is a machlokes. This idea of Isser Mosif, or Isser Chalal Isser. Could one prohibition develop upon another prohibition is in and of itself a fundamental machlokes. So the Gemara says, De Itmar, Zar Shashimish, Bishavis. Was an interesting, we're going to have now three different cases. So what happens if you have a non-Kohen who did Avoda on Shabbos? Rabbi Yossi, remember, if a non-Kohen does Avoda on Shabbos, you've got two problems. Number one, you've got a non-Kohen doing Avoda, which is an Issa D'oraisa punishable by death. Number one. Number two, he's offering Karbanos, which is a Malacha on Shabbos, which is only permitted in the context of Karbanos, and this guy can't do Karbanos, so he's violated Shabbos, and he's violated Avoda. So Rabbi Chia says, Chayiv Shtayim, you're Chayiv for both things, for Chilul Shabbos, as well as avoda. Look at Rashi. Chayiv beis beis yisurei kachashiv. Da hamishum zaros in kan chatos. Da haaz dono misa bide shmaimu. Vein chayiv chatos ela shigas kras. So remember again, these are talking about shogeg cases over here, right? These are not intentional violations. A person unintentionally offered up a karban on Shabbos in the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Chiya says he's chayiv twice. Bar Kafra says ain chayiv ela achas. You only chayiv once. Kafas Rabbi Chiya v'nish. Rabbi Chiya got up and he swore ha avoda. I swear. Kach shamati mi Rebbe. Shtayim. I remember that you are chayiv twice. Kafatz bar kafra v'nishba bar kafra jumped up and said, ha'avoda, I swear, kach shamati mi rebi achos. You only chayiv once. Okay. Hischil Rabbi Chiya ladonus. Rabbi Chiya began to darshan. He said, Shabbos lekol ne'esra. Shabbos is asra for everyone. Shabbos lechol ne'esra. Shabbos is also for everyone. Kishu hutra b'mikdash. Eitzel kohanim hutra. When it was permitted in the base of mikdash, the prohibition to violate Shabbos is only by kohanim. However, lekohanim hutra for all the zarim. Therefore again, what we'll say. Therefore, lemaisa, you will go ahead and I'm sorry. Kishu hutra b'mikdash. Eitzel kohanim hutra. Lekohanim hutra for all the zarim. Yesh kamishum zarus. V'yesh kamishum Shabbos. So therefore, again, I will say, said Rabbi Zeira, that what? Said Rabbi Chiya, therefore, is going to be chayv twice, one for Shabbos, one for Avoda. Hischil Bakar for Lod, and Bakar began to darshan this, and he said, Shabbos lekol ne'esra, Shabbos is asra for everyone. Kishotra b'mikdash hutra. I will say, Bakar has a very interesting approach. He says, Shabbos is asra for everyone, but Shabbos was categorically permitted within the Beis HaMikdash itself. Therefore, if you violate Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, you are not chayiv for that. Ein kan elazaros. Therefore, what do you have over here? Only one prohibition of being a non-Kohen doing karbanos. So we'll have to stop over here. We'll have to pick up Emir Teshem here tomorrow with the continuation of these cases. We'll start at 6 with no questions. So here are the questions, right? 5:45 with questions, 6 with no questions. Okay, 6 no questions it is. Good. All right.